brothers, His Eminence is trying to hear feedback from you in order not to lecture to you as students and not to feel that he is a lecturer or he is a professor, because he did it for many years, so he doesn't like that. So he likes interaction. So you raise questions, you raise, you know, subjects, and he will meet all these and will answer all these questions. So we help him in this regard, you know, not to act like a lecturer. Okay?
The first presentation will be about the priest in general and from all sides. So I suggest to put the title with this sentence: the priest the priest is an icon of Christ. He is supposed to reflect Jesus' face towards others. In Greek, the face is called prosopon, which means in the same time the whole person. It means the face of the person and the whole person at the same time. According to Saint Gregory the Theologian, his main work is to guide man's soul towards salvation. Means that he is concerned firstly about the salvation of the person. And yet, saying that, he is still concerned with the body and the soul, because he is concerned about all the person. We can say that salvation, what does it mean, salvation of the person? Salvation is this new life which is given by the risen Jesus Christ from death. It's this grace which we have with our baptism, the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, resurrected from death. And here, it reminds us what Saint Paul wrote in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know that this chapter talks about resurrection. And he says some sentences of this chapter. The body is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. The first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, The second man is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 42:49. This is to say that the role of the priest is to help others to adopt this new life in Christ. With other words, his role is to help the person to pass from the earthly life to the heavenly life. Well, if he has from baptism this grace of the new life, well, the priest will help him in order that this grace which we have in our baptism will be in fact energized in order to fill him, to fill the person from the grace of God. Speaking about the priest, we can say that he is not a simple man. He has the human nature, but he has also the divine spirit. The main thing that he is supposed to live, he is supposed to be moved by the Spirit of God and not by the spirit of the world of the earth. This is very important practically for every one of us, because we are living in the world. We are influenced by this environment. That's why we have to struggle. We have to with forcing ourselves not to be noctus, yani, to be taken by the atmosphere of the world. We are human beings. We have to be to live with others, but in the same time we have to guard our mission, which is a divine mission. That's why I said we have to behave always with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, not to be taken by the words of the people, of the television, of what we are, our family or our maybe parishioners says about the fashions. The fashions of the church are different from the fashions of the world. It's a very important thing, because the clerical, if it's a priest or a monk, even if it's a monk, even and especially if he is a bishop, I have this experience now, he must be very careful not to be taken by the behavior of the world. The world fashion. Otherwise, he will lose all his mission. and the people would not have, will not entrust him. Well, it is the same for anyone baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity. But here with the priest, he has this special mission to lead other persons from the earth to heaven, from the natural human life to the eternal life. We have to be aware that this life, it is a precarious life. The real life, as the Apostle Paul says, is in heaven. And this worldly life is just a preparation for us. It's just a pre-taste of the eternal.
Foretaste
of the eternal life. This is the good looking for the life in Christ, the new life in Christ. That's why we have always, with our prayers, and it's very clear in our liturgical prayers, that we have to look always eschatologically, because the present world, all the organization of the present world, is made in order that this life it finishes with death, and after death there is nothing. This is the worldly conception of man today. So he has, in this meaning, a pedagogical work. Pedagogico. He has to train others to have this looking, this kind of conception. This is not simple thing. That's why for this mission the priest needs to be trained by special instructors in order to liberate himself from his passions. It could be by the bishop. The bishop could be the instructor, this monitor, who can train his priest in order that they look always to the eternal life, because the bishop is supposed to be purified from the self-love, or by other spiritual fathers who have been cured from the bad passions, mainly, as Sayyidina said, temptation coming from money, from the authority, and from all the bad desires of the person, of the body. That's why the Saint Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes for the kingdom of God, means who competes for the prize, is temperate in all things. Temperate means that he has to control himself in all things in his life. And another point which is important, this doesn't mean that he must just follow the Ten Commandments, as some people think. He must be trained to live with the grace of God, not only with his talents, with his human possibilities. He must live with the grace of God to acquire joy and peace in God. Mainly joy and peace. We have this in especially in his epistle to Ephesians, when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Real joy will have it with God, living with God, with the grace of God. This is the real joy. It's not just to eat and have some pleasures. And in another place, Philippians in Rejoice in the Lord, the epistle of Philippians. But Ephesians, he says, "For he himself is our peace." Is our peace. Christ is our peace. It's not the peace of the world. And really, John, St. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." The peace we gain from Christ is different from the peace of the world. And in another place, Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Really, if we pay attention in many places, we see in the New Testament the one who has really practical faith, complete faith in his life, he will have all what God can give him good for his life. And this is not simple in our practical daily life. Now, the question, how can practically we as priests acquire such spiritual experience? How can we acquire this grace, this, as some saints who had the total grace, who remember in totally in with the grace of God. I remember in the book of Saint who wrote, he says that the grace of God is in the person, in the deep part of the person, and it is there as a potential energy. And God, with his wisdom, he waits until the person with his free will make the first step, the first struggle, the first. And in this case, the grace of God, the grace will begin to work in man, and it works until it comes to all his senses. Another place, Saint Basil the Great, says, he was speaking about the Eucharist, when we take the body and the blood, when we we take the commune, the Holy Communion, the grace of God will fill all our organism, and it comes to all the senses of the person until, for example, our mind will be transformed into the mind of Christ. Our eyes, will be the eyes of Christ, and all our senses, all the person will behave as Christ was behaving. This is just a figure how God can work inside every person who is really following him. This is a very important how this what we call the synergia operates in every man who really wants to live in Christ. Concerning the practical and efficient way to guide spiritually others, it is through confession, what we were speaking in the morning. Through confession, as I was saying, because in practice, through confession, the priest enters in the deep and internal world of the person. And for him, and for God also, every person is a particular case. He is different from any other person. If we look to our faces, every face is particular. Let me here remind you that the fruit of the Spirit, as St. Paul says in Galatians 5:22-23, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. And also long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he adds, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's very clear. Someone was asking how we can help people today in order to come to church or to come to Christ. And here he says, if we have this spirit which gives all these virtues, spiritual virtues, then against such there is no law. There is nothing which can not permit that these virtues can enter in the heart of any person. It's the work of God. It's not our work. Our duty is to prepare, to guide. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit which can transform a person. We must be aware that finally it's not our duty, it's not our power which can transform the other person. Here are some qualifications of the priest in summary, and which can be studied in detail later. The priest is a spiritual father, spiritual director and confessor. That's why we call him Abuna. Abuna. It comes from Abba, Abuna, because he is reflecting the person of God. What Saint Paul spoke to the Corinthians when he said to them, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me." 1 Corinthians 4:15-16. And I remember an explanation from St. John Chrysostom about this sentence. Saint Chrysostom was saying that the priest is the father in meaning that he is reflecting the fatherhood of God, who is the source of this paternity. And he says that you can have an instructor. What is like what I'm making now? An instructor gives his speech and he depart away, but the father is adopting his son. He is following, he is guiding his son always. It's another responsibility. Secondly, the priest is the minister of the holy sacraments or the holy mysteries. Through these mysteries, as if I remember Saint Nicholas Cambazila says, that the mysteries in the church are the ways, the canals through which the grace of God is introduced in the heart. In Greek, mysteries, the word mystery comes from the verb miome, miesis, which means something like initiation, training, for initiate someone in order to introduce him to the mystery of God, to the truth of God, to know God, to understand. Especially the priest serves the mystery of the Eucharist, the sacrifice, divine unbloody sacrifice of Christ. In the prayer of the Cheruvikum, we say this reasonable and unbloody service, for thou thyself are he that offers and is offered, that accepts and is distributed. This holy sacrifice for the priest who is celebrating the holy liturgy can be extended outside of the church in order to be celebrated as St. John Chrysostom says, on the table of our neighbors, of man, and especially of those needed persons. And I was speaking with Sayyidina Joseph about how when the priest dies, we have this tradition to cover his face with the covering, with the air. With the air. It has a very beautiful meaning that with all his service, all along his life, when he dies and he will go to his to Christ, our Lord, and he will be offered to him as this sacrifice, as the sacrifice. Thirdly, the priest is a teacher and a preacher. He has to present, explain, to preach the gospel, the word of God. Four, he is a man of prayer. As Saint John of Constance says, before all, the priest is a man of prayer. Why a man of prayer? Because he is supposed to be constantly in relation, in direct relation with God. Five, he must have the virtue of discernment. Discernment. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is in practice also interesting. We are in contact with many persons, and maybe in confession, maybe someone, and usually the woman come and says, we had this vision tonight of any saint or any other nightmare, and we have to discern any miracle, for example, who can be written or said by anyone. We have really to know if it's real, if it's good, if it's from God, or if it is from not of God. It may be something psychological, or it may be from the devil. This is the role of the priest as spiritual person. He has this virtue of discernment. The vocation of the priest supposes knowledge and love. Knowledge and love. True knowledge occurs in the divine intimacy with Christ. When we have a deep relation with Christ, in this case, we have the true knowledge. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Luke 10:21. Now, in conclusion of this, I would say that the real life of the priest is not all in his work, nor in the liturgical service or rites, not also in teaching and preaching, all what we said before. The real meaning of his life, or visiting sick people or the poor. It's not that we think that the role, the work of the priest is just to visit and to serve people and to help others. It's not that, just that. It's not the pastoral, usual work. And even it's not all his liturgical prayers. In spite of the importance of that, but deeply, his deepness is the reality within his heart. His heart. Good works then flow from this heart. If the heart is pure, if the heart is with God, all things good flow from the heart. That's why in Revelation he says, Revelation 2:3-5, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Generally, it happens so that in the beginning we have this enthusiasm to become priest and to serve and to give our life, it's a sacrifice, to sacrifice ourselves for God and for others. But in time, with time, we have fatigue, we are weary, and we have this temptation that our work, our life becomes as a routine, even our prayer. We must keep always our ardent love for Jesus Christ and for his church through prayer, reading the gospel and the church fathers. All of this will keep us away from pride. The important thing is to remain warm in our life, in our love to Christ and to others. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. With you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:15-16. This is our judgment as priest in the last days. Thank you.